Hello, welcome to our program on careers. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader for St. Sounds of Arizona. I would like to begin today's program with an article which appeared in the Wall Street Journal on the 12th of November of this year. The title of this article is Seasonal Job Seekers Have No Luck. This article was written for the journal by Justin Lehart and Jared Mitovich. Big companies are saying they are likely to add far fewer workers this holiday season. Every year, hundreds of thousands of U.S. workers take on seasonal jobs during the holidays. This year, those jobs look harder to come by. Queens, New York native Meredith Conbonnell, 37 years of age, has applied to holiday jobs at Kohl's and Target and other retails as well, after losing her full-time job last holiday season. So far, she has not found any takers and her savings have begun to dry out. "I don't want to end up having no money at all. I don't want to be living paycheck to paycheck," said Carbonell, who lives with her grandmother in her grandmother's house and with her mother and her 15-year-old son. The retail and transportation and warehousing sectors typically rush to hire as they staff up for the holidays and let those workers go once the season is over. In the final 3 months of last year, though, the two sectors added 912,000 jobs, according to the Labor Department. Then they shed 858,000 jobs over January and February. While the jobs are temporary, they provide an important source of income for low-wage earners, many of whom move from job to job over the rest of the year. And this year, as the low hiring environment has made it harder to break into the job market at all, more people are looking for holiday jobs to tide them over. Payroll processor ADP on Tuesday said that its measure of employment showed that the economy shed 45,000 private sector jobs over the 4 weeks ended October 25th. On job sites, Indeed, the number of job seekers looking for holiday work was 27% higher at the end of September than it was a year earlier. But the number of job postings from retailers on the site was down by 15% on the year last month. Some of the companies that do the most holiday hiring have broken from their usual practice of advertising how many holiday workers they plan to hire. United Parcel Service said last year it would hire 125,000 workers in its holiday hiring spree. This year, it has not made an announcement. Also holding off, Macy's, which said in 2024 that they would hire more than 31,500 seasonal workers, and Target, which said last year that it would add 100,000 seasonal jobs. By the tally of job placement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas, through October of this year, large companies have announced plans to hire 372,520 seasonal workers. That compares, though, with 660,150 at the same period point last year. And it is the fewest announced seasonal hires through October since Challenger Gray began tracking them back in 2012. The mismatch between employers' needs and the stepped-up demand for work surfs up this kind of odd balance, where fewer retail job postings are paired with more people wanting those jobs, and that leads to a much more competitive market, said Indeed economist Corey Stable. At Portugalia Marketplace in Fall River, Massachusetts, landing a holiday job has never been more competitive. "We get far more applicants than we've ever gotten before," said Michael Benavides, who runs a specialty Portuguese pet grocery with his sister and recently has observed an uptick in middle-aged, more qualified candidates. Benavides estimates that the grocer nets about 30% of their annual business in November and December. that holidays call for all hands on deck at Portugalia wrote in a recent seasonal hiring posting for its warehouse that fills online orders. The grocer's staff typically grows from 50 people to 60 near year end as families shop for holiday groceries and the store hosts more events to attract visitors. One reason for the caution on holiday hiring, Americans' willingness to spend during the holidays is looking iffy. While high-income households might be feeling flush thanks to a surging stock market, many others now are feeling pinched. Only 11% of consumers polled by the University of Michigan last month said that they expected their incomes to outpace inflation over the next year. The Federal Reserve's latest so-called Beige Book report, which compiles economic anecdotes from the 12 regional Fed banks, said that some businesses were anxious about the upcoming holiday season. An annual survey from Deloitte found that consumers on the average expect their spending on gifts and other holiday items to come to $1,595 this year. That compares with $1,778 in last year's survey. The government shutdown could weigh further on sales. Supermarkets and other retailers that sell food are grappling with delays and reductions to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. That was known as SNAP. Stephanie Doler, 33, said that the clientele at her bake shop in Easton, Maryland includes workers who commute into Washington, D.C. Doler was worried when the start of October was slower for business than she had expected, but she has come to lean on a dependable crop of customers. Heading into the holidays, she is working on hiring 4 extra employees to help her with an expected influx of customers. She recently trained a new team member with a main job in the evening who hoped to earn extra cash during the daytime this winter. "We bake all day, every day," she said. Next, I would like to read an article from the op-ed page of the New York Times, November 7th. Young workers are miserable for good reason. This was written for the Times by Jessica Gross, a writer in Opinion and the author of a Times newsletter on The Way We Live Now. Technology has left Gen Zers with little autonomy or security in their jobs. The older generation always discounts the workplace complaints of the younger generation. In my 20s, there seemed to be an endless supply of commentary about how we millennials were lazy and entitled, just as the members of Generation X before us were slackers. Members of Gen Z get the bad rap of being unemployable because apparently they do not prize achievement for its own sake, or they'd rather be influencers out there because the internet has broken their brains. Gen Zers do not even deserve this perfunctory slander because the entire process of getting and keeping an entry-level job today has now become a grueling and dehumanizing ordeal over the past decade. Certainly, the job market does seem grim at times. Michael Matowitz, the principal economist at the Roosevelt Institute, described it as an awful traffic jam. If you're just out of college, you're trying to merge into a freeway, and nobody is letting you in, he explained. Employers at companies such as Airbnb and Intuit almost sound excited talking to the Wall Street Journal about staying lean and culling the number of employees that they have, as long as it creates short-term profits. But the whole experience of work for young people has been tortured for far longer than the economy has been stalled. My colleague David Brooks spoke in May to a college senior who called young Americans the most rejected generation, describing the hyper-competition that has bled into all aspects of life, even for the most privileged college-educated strivers. Because most applications are submitted online, the bar to applying is so much lower than it was in the analog world decades ago. And so for any open role, applicants are competing with hundreds of people. The sense of scarcity and lack starts earlier because so many selective colleges boast about their record low admission rates. But now artificial intelligence is performing the first few rounds of culling, including early screening, which is further dehumanizing and gamifying the application process. Richard Yuan, who is an economics major at Columbia, told me that when his peers have multiple interviews for jobs in finance, he asks if they heard back from any of them. And they tell him, "You don't understand, like 19 of those 20 interviews were with bots." It's customary for job seekers to review their resumes for keywords that they think artificial intelligence likes, Ms. Yuan told me, so that they might have a chance of getting through the digital gauntlet of one day making human contact that could possibly lead to a job offer, or at the very least, a real-life networking connection. Mr. Yuan called the process dystopian. But once you actually do have a job, the real dystopia begins. Young people feel jobs now offer far less mentorship and more micromanaging. Stevie Stevens, who is 27 and lives in Columbus, Ohio, told me that she left a full-time position in July at an exhibition design and production firm because she felt hyper-scrutinized and under-supported. Managers expect you to do 6 jobs in a 40-hour work week. My company has mediocre benefits and offered little to no professional growth or training, she told me. Ms. Stevens also said that what she calls surveillance state technologies, apps that synthesized her personal data to determine her level of effort, are part of that feeling of micromanagement. Though she doesn't have benefits at work now and deals with more uncertainty as a freelancer, she is happier because she has autonomy and control over her time and her efforts. For the past several years, employers have used Bossware to track workers' productivity. A Times investigator in 2022 found that across professional fields and pay grades, employers were tracking keyboard use, movements and phone calls, and docking employees for time that they perceived to be idle. That kind of tracking does not account for things such as conversation with peers, thinking, you know, with your brain, or if you work in a warehouse, taking a rest so your body doesn't fall apart. At least older workers knew a time before this tracking was ubiquitous, and at this point might be senior enough to have the leverage to push back against the most extreme types of surveillance. It is no wonder, then, that a working paper published by the National Bureau of Economic Research in July found that young worker despair had been rising in the United States for about a decade now. Its authors, David Blanchflower and Alex Bryson, analyzed data from the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, a yearly federal health survey of 400,000 Americans, focusing on how many bad mental health days, ones describing as containing stress, depression, and problems with emotions, that a worker had in the past month. Then they created a mental despair measurement using the number of such days, comparing mental despair across demographic, employment, and educational characteristics. Mr. Blanchflower and Mr. Bryson found that for workers under age 25, mental health is now so poor that they are generally as unhappy as their unemployed counterparts, which is new in the past several years. The rise in despair is particularly pronounced among women and the less educated. Last year, job satisfaction for people under age 25 was about 15 points lower than it was for people over age 55. This was true in the same year that satisfaction rose for every other age group, according to a survey from the Conference Board. The unhappiness of young workers seemed so pronounced in the past year, whether because of the rapid rise of artificial intelligence, the uncertainty of the market, or some other rancid combination of post-COVID malaise and general disaffection. I called Mr. Bryson to find out more about why young people today are so unhappy with work. He has two hypotheses. One is that the perception of work satisfaction has changed. Young people today expect to be happier than previous generations were, in part because they're using social media to compare themselves to some of their peers, only to then find themselves disappointed by the tedium of their own 9-to-5s. But the other hypothesis is in line with what I'm hearing from young people. The workplace is markedly worse. Employers might not extend the workday, Mr. Bryson speculated, but the amount of work expected in each hour is intensifying because every move is captured and cataloged by the employers. This makes employees feel that they have no job control, which is a fundamental tenet in terms of job quality. The idea that you feel that you do have some degree of autonomy over what you are doing rather than just being directed as an automaton, Mr. Bryson said. Gen Zers seem to be having a few disparate reactions to this state of play. Both Ms. Stevens and Mr. Yoon told me that they see entrepreneurship as potentially safer than corporate work at this point. Mr. Yoon told me that he saw a family member spend decades at a Fortune 500 company, only to get unceremoniously laid off, and it has made him consider a less traditional path. The other is unionization. Mr. Bryson wondered if the renewed support for unionization among young people in the United States is an antidote to this misery. Whatever is going to happen to Gen Zers as we all live through the AI revolution, I hope that their elders view them with more compassion than disdain. At least I got rejected to my face when I was in my 20s, which now seems like a luxury that I didn't appreciate at the time. The following article was written by Ray A. Smith and appeared in the Wall Street Journal on the 3rd of November. How are companies using artificial intelligence? A new survey has answers. The short answer is a lot, and at least the top executives say it is paying off. It's one of the fundamental questions about generative AI. Can companies put it to good use? One answer comes from a new survey put out by the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania, which found that business leaders went all in on generative artificial intelligence in the past year, and they say it is paying off. If there was any doubt about corporate leaders' comfort with artificial intelligence, the report indicates that doubt is no longer a factor. 82% of the executives say that they personally use generative AI once a week, and 46% now use it daily. In 2023, the first year of the survey, fewer than 37% said they used it once a week. The annual survey conducted this summer by Wharton and marketing consulting firm GBK Collective covers 800 business leaders at companies with more than 1,000 employees and $50 million in revenue. The survey also finds 72% of executives say their companies formally measure their return on investment from generative AI, and roughly 3 out of 4 said that they have positive returns. The report also provides an optimistic signal that generative artificial intelligence may not wipe out the entry-level job. Senior leaders expect generative AI to have its biggest impact on interns and entry-level workers, but substantially more senior leaders expect AI to create more hiring at those levels. For example, 17% say that they expect to hire fewer interns, but 49% expect to hire more interns. 18% expect fewer hires for entry level on junior positions, while 40% expected more. That said, senior leaders are at times more enthusiastic about generative AI than middle managers below them. Almost half of the top leaders, those with titles of vice president or higher, saying that they are significantly positive ROI, while only 27% of middle managers do. To dive more deeply into what the survey found, we talked to Stefan Pontoni, a Wharton professor of marketing, who co-authored the report, along with Jeremy Korf, partner at GBK Collective, and Prasanna Tambi, a professor of operations, information, and decisions at Wharton. Here are the edited excerpts of the conversation. An enthusiasm gap. Wall Street Journal's question, why do senior leaders seem more enthusiastic about implementing AI than middle managers? Stefano Pontoni responded, leaders probably have the bigger overview of what is going on in the organization. On the other hand, though, people who are a little bit below that level might feel a bit squished between bottom-up and top-down pressure. They might feel more threatened by the technology than the vice president level. The vice president, on the other hand, may be over-optimistic because they are the ones making those decisions about big deployment, and therefore they might try very hard to see the positive. The Wall Street Journal then asked, would it be that sometimes the senior leaders are more about the vision, but it's up to the lower level managers to carry out the mission? Pontoni's response, it could be that the people who are at the top tend to be thinking about longer term. They may report a greater level of optimism because they're projecting 2, 3, or 5 years out. People who are a bit farther down, though, they have more of a concrete mindset about the thing that they need to do next week. The Wall Street Journal then asks, so much of the conversation around artificial intelligence revolves around whether it will replace jobs or enhance existing jobs. What was the prevailing sentiment on that in your study? Pontoni's response, we tapped into that kind of question in a bunch of different sections of the report. One question was, to what extent do you believe that this technology is going to complement employee skills or replace employee skills? What we saw in 2023, people reported very high levels of both beliefs about replacement and enhancement. By 2024, we saw that shifting to significantly more people endorsing beliefs about human enhancement. This year, though, we see no change. About 90% believe artificial intelligence is going to complement employee skills. A surprising jobs picture. The Wall Street Journal then said, what about the concerns that artificial intelligence will eliminate the need for lots of entry-level jobs? And Pontoni's response to this was, senior people tell us that generative AI will have more of a net positive impact on junior positions than it will on senior people, helping them do their jobs better or create new jobs. So it seems, looking at our data, as if the picture for entry-level positions might not be that bad after all. That surprised me. And then the Wall Street Journal said, what did you learn about general usage? The response, we switched to tracking daily use from weekly use because basically so many people are using it. A large amount of people are building comfort, familiarity, and certainty, a degree of expertise. This technology is permeating a workplace to a very high degree. The top-rated use cases tend to be generally productivity tools, such as data analysis, meeting summation, and writing. That's the bread and butter of knowledge work. The fact that those are the top three tells you that this is not a technology that is going to have a narrow impact on a particular function of a particular industry, but it's going to have a wide impact across the economy. And finally, from the AARP Bulletin of December of this year, Senate panel probes bias. Age discrimination is becoming subtler than ever and costing America some of its best workers, a Senate committee heard in September. One concern, artificial intelligence may be screening out candidates who appear to be older. AARP Chief Advocacy and Engagement Officer Nancy Lesmond told members of the Senate Special Committee on Aging. Algorithms that are used to scan resumes and applications can accelerate bias using graduation dates or years of experience as proxies for age, Lehman said. She cited other forms of age bias, from interviewers blatantly asking a person's age to using terms such as digital native in ads to signal a desire for younger people. The hearing was organized by ranking member Kirsten Gillibrand, Democrat from New York, to focus on age discrimination in the workplace with the support of Rick Scott, Republican from Florida, the Senate committee's chairman. AARP is supporting the bipartisan Protecting Older Americans Act of 2025, which would allow older workers who feel that they have been discriminated against to sue employers rather than go through an arbitration process. This is all the time that we have for our program on careers for today. I hope that you've enjoyed listening in and will enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks for listening in. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader, and you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona.